building on blessing. Here's the third commandment, Exodus 20 and 7. He said, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. The King James Version says you will not take the name of the Lord in vain. That's probably the way you learned that coming up. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. And again, we're trying to bring these commandments to life for us in 2025. And we want to see how they relate to us in modern language and in modern understanding so that we can apply these things to our lives, so that we can walk in this word and we can live in this word and we can experience this word in a context that, somehow lives in the culture and you know, we're in the world, we're not of the world, but we have to be obedient to the Lord in 2025. But I can summarize this commandment in one sentence, I think. God is saying, I want you to take my name seriously. I want you to take my name seriously. What's the deal with names? It's an interesting study. I came across a book written by Paul Dickinson. The book is just titled Names. What started as a personal hobby for this author became this book that is simply called Names. Paul Dickinson began collecting strange and unusual names, and even believed, as you see in the book, he believed that sometimes names are prophetic. There was the Montreal window washer who died tragically, falling from his window washing on the side of a building. His name was Will Drop. Sometimes names are prophetic. Others he described seemed destined for certain occupations. These are fun, almost as if their names were foretelling of what they were going to eventually do. Joe Bunt became a baseball coach. Dan Druff became a barber. Get it? Dan Druff. Jeff Treadwell became a podiatrist. There were two different guys, one with the last name of Goforth and the other the last name of Ketchum. Both of these two individuals became police officers, ultimately ended up as partners riding in the same vehicle, Goforth and Ketchum. You can't make this up. Then there was O'Neill and Prey, a man by the name of O'Neill, last name O'Neill, and another last name Prey. They became partners in a church equipment, church furnishing business. O'Neill and Prey. Probably my favorite was the plaster contractor named Will Crumble. What's in a name? The Lord is telling us that his name is a big deal. After all, it's the third commandment. There's 10 of these, and as we've said, four of them deal specifically with how we respond to God and how we respect God and how we honor God, and the remaining deal with how we honor and respect one another, and we're still in that first grouping that is teaching us how to respect and how to honor the Lord. His name is a big deal. He said, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord. But why is God so sensitive about his name? What is the deal? Well, I think the teaching behind that is we learn that our name represents more than just the syllables, and it's more than just the phrasing. It's more than just, you know, the combination of a grandfather and grandmother's name to try to create a unique name that you would place on your child. It is deeper than that. It's deeper than the syllables. It's deeper than the spelling. It's even deeper than the name representing maybe a generation ago or someone's memory that you want to keep alive. We find that in a name represents reputation, a name represents character, and a name represents authority. And I want to break that down just a little bit. If we look at reputation, what's in a name is their reputation in a name. You've probably heard people say, yeah, he's making a name for himself. What does that mean? Is it just that his name is becoming famous? No, it's the man behind the name. It's the woman behind the name. It's the quality of the work that they provide. It's the level of service that they provide. He's making a name for himself. And if they have a good reputation, then he's got a good name. He's got a good name. That guy's got a good name. But conversely, if they have a bad reputation, well, we say, well, he's got a bad name. You need to be careful there. And if I were to say a name this morning, you automatically think of the reputation that is associated with that name. Don't blurt it out, don't call it out, but think it in your mind at least. If I say the name Elvis, it's a reputation that goes with that name. If I say the name Martin Luther King Jr., There is a reputation associated with that name. If I say the name Billy Graham, there is a reputation associated with that name. If I say the name Hitler, there is a reputation that is associated with that name. So you've got reputation that is attached to a name, and then you've got character. Character is attached to the name. I hear people say often, don't shoot the messenger. Well, it's really impossible to separate the messenger and the message. Because if the messenger does not have a good name, if the messenger does not have good character, then it's going to be hard to hear the message that they are speaking. It's going to be hard to accept the message that they are offering, because a name represents your character. Who you are cannot be separated from your name once they are identified together. So in Bible days, they often named their children after certain character qualities. They hoped their children would follow those character qualities. In fact, in Bible times, if there was someone living under one name who had a major life change or had a significant character change, God would actually change their name. You remember Abram became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Simon became Peter. Their new name reflected their new character. So names have reputation connected to them. Names have character connected to them. And names can have authority connected to them. If you get stopped by the police on the way home from church today, I hope you do not. But the police officer is not going to say stop in the name of Ralph. or stop in the name of Joe, or stop in the name of Charles. He's going to say stop in the name of the law, because the law has authority. There is authority behind that. The name he is carrying, the name he is wearing on his badge, may be a common name, but attached to that name is a certain authority that, it's a good idea to respect that and sometimes even obey that. And you see it's starting to make some sense that our name is more, it's more than just Daryl, it's the reputation of Daryl. It's more than just the syllables. My mother, she may be watching today, but she was debating between naming me Daryl or naming me Craig. Can you imagine me being Pastor Craig? I don't look like a Craig, do I? I look like a Daryl. Or maybe I don't look like a Daryl. Can I just change my name? What name do I want? Jude changed his name one time. He wanted to be called, it wasn't Jude. What was his name that he wanted to be called? John. He was John. We have about 6 Johns in our family, and I don't know if it's because he heard all of those names being called, but Jude wanted us to change his name to John. We got this name association, and within that name is character and reputation, and sometimes it is authority. And so God says, when you misuse my name, it's a big deal, because misusing the name of the Lord means that we are potentially defaming the reputation or the character or the authority of the name of the Lord. And so within this commandment, I'm taking some time to build foundation for good understanding and context, but he says, I don't want you to use my name flippantly. When thinking about misusing God's name, it's easy to only think about swearing. It's easy to only think about, that one cuss word that's off limits. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And yes, that's absolutely included, but there are many, many other ways to misuse God's name, and it actually damage his reputation in the eyes of others. So let's work through a few of those ways. Why are we doing this? Well, we're trying to understand these 10 commandments better, but we also want to get this right, because I know you want your life, and I certainly want my life to honor the Lord. I want it to bring glory to the Lord. And so here, I'm gonna give you 5 of these, but misusing the name of the Lord, we can use God's name to insult. When we're misusing, we can use God's name to insult. This often happens when we use profanity or swearing to express irritation. I heard about a farmer a long, long time ago who got home late for supper, and his wife asked if the wagon broke down. He said, no, on the way home, I offered a ride to the minister. And from that point on, the mules didn't understand a word I said. Think about that a moment. He was used to cussing and abusing and fussing at the mules, but once the minister got in the seat beside him, he started talking real sweet, and the mules didn't understand that. They didn't understand that language. Nowadays, music comes with explicit labels. Movies get an R rating if they include more than one F word. People swear to try impressing others. The truth is, it really takes no intellect, and it takes no education. I've heard talking birds swear. They learn the language of their owner, of the one that feeds them. You hear people sometimes, and maybe this is a part of your vocabulary, and I'd love to encourage you just to think through this message and let God speak to your heart, but you'll hear people just in a moment of frustration. I swear to God, we misuse the name of the Lord. And you know what? It takes maturity to discipline your speech. What about when I stub my toe in the middle of the night? Even then, that's the one thing I want to give you a pass on, to just say whatever comes to your mind. But sadly, even when we stub our toe in the middle of the night, we're still bound to not misusing the name of the Lord. Here's the second one. We use God's name to indulge. We use God's name to indulge. Well, I guess God didn't want me to go to work today. Why? Because you didn't get up? Because you hit snooze too many times? Why? How is this the Lord's fault? How did he get involved in this? I guess God didn't want me to get that job. Why? Is it how you handled yourself in the interview? I was eating in a restaurant just recently, and I was eating by myself, and so I was checking emails and responding to text, and I'm people watching and looking out the window, and I saw a guy get out of his car, and my first thought, you can call me judge, jury, whatever, I get it, but my first thought was that guy does not have enough clothes on to eat in this restaurant. He just wasn't dressed. And I went about, you know, I'm not worried about him. I got back to my food, and the next time I look up, that guy was sitting at a table not far from me with a manager being interviewed for a job. And I thought, wait a minute, we've gone from not being dressed enough to eat in this restaurant to now he's about to work in this restaurant. Sometimes we get a little out of balance. We get a little far afoot. And I'll tell you what else I've learned. I've learned that God gets blamed for a lot of things he had nothing to do with. Well, I prayed about it. We use God to cover ourselves, or we use God for a lack of preparation on our end. We use God's name to adults. He said, don't misuse my name. Here's the third one. We use God's name to intimidate. Y'all still love me as I'm teaching the word today, because it might get tight. The truth is, people, we people are pros at using God to intimidate others. So social media shows us way too much about what people really think and how people really feel. God told me what you should do. God told me what's wrong with you. God showed me that you're supposed to lend me money. He said, don't misuse my name. Leave me out of your foolishness. Don't use my name to manipulate people. Don't use my name to swindle people. Don't use my name to lead others into some kind of craziness in your life. Just don't do that. Don't intimidate people. Parents do this sometimes. Spouses can do this in marriage. We use God to get what we want. We use that phrase, well, God told me. You got to be careful when you're speaking for God. I just offer this. This is free. I just have way more experience in this than I want. But if a meeting starts with God told me, then that meeting is essentially over. Because who am I to argue with God? If God told you, I'm not going to disagree with him. You pretty well leave the conversation, nowhere to go. It is a form of intimidation. It's using God to strong arm to get your way or to get what you want. I do not do this to others because I see it as manipulation. I don't want it done to me. In business, they call this forgery. Forgery is when it is using someone else's name to get what you want. I don't want to be a spiritual forger. I don't want to use the name of the Lord to get what I want. The manipulation comes in when we say, well, God told me, and the automatic response is, well, then it must be true. But sometimes it's not true. Sometimes God did not tell them that. That's what they wish God would have told them. That's what they hope God would tell them. God told me to divorce my spouse. Well, let's think about that. God told me to quit my job. God, you know, we fill in the blank with so many things that can be used to intimidate or to manipulate. I'm gonna give you a verse that will really help you in your spiritual walk. 1 John 4:1, he said, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." See, we were beat over the heads with "touch not mine anointed" and "do my prophets no harm," and you know, you need to live that as well. Don't be hurting. Don't be hurting people. Don't be talking about people. Don't be ugly. But try the spirit. Is this of God? Let me pray on this. I heard you say God told you, but I'm going to pray on this a moment and see if this is really what I feel in my heart as well. Here's the fourth one. We use God's name to impress. We use God's name to impress insecure people. Sometimes insecure believers do this. They attempt to prove how spiritual they are by their jargon or by their use of religious phrases and spiritual cliches. Maybe if they use all the spiritual buzzwords, then we'll be impressed. If we use all the spiritual jargon, then people, you know, like we're expecting people to fall out when we give them our title. I'm prophetess so-and-so. Y'all know good and well I'm teaching truth today because y'all have lived it and seen it. He said, don't misuse my name. Don't misuse, don't take my name in vain. It's not going to help you. It's not going to serve you. It's not going to get you what you want. It may feel like you gain something temporarily, but don't try to impress people using my name if you don't walk this and live this and talk this every day. If this is not your lifestyle, because you know what? Lifestyle is much more impressive than talk. Action is much more impressive than verbiage and jargon and cliches. Titus 1:16, he said, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. He said, if we take God's name in vain, if we're not careful, we claim to be committed to him, but we don't back up that commitment with our actions or with our lifestyle. He's saying someone may profess to know the Lord. He's number one in my life. He's everything to me. There's some questions that follow that. You say, Pastor, are you sure about all this? I thought he was just asking us not to use the GD cuss word. No, it's much bigger than that. He said, don't misuse my name. Here's the fifth one. We use God's name impulsively. This probably meets every single one of us today. And maybe this will sound really practical, and I hope it does, because this is a trap that many of us fall into. Perhaps at times we are too casual about God. We misuse God's name when we use it as a convenient expression of fear or anger or joy or amazement or surprise. My God, I caught a 10-pound fish. Oh, my Lord, did you see that Sally is pregnant? Well, who are you talking to, the Lord, or who are we talking to? Jesus, I just split my pants. We do this to, I don't know if people do that intentionally, but that's what ultimately happens. We reduce God to a level of wow or shock. Let me encourage you, don't make God your exclamation point. Don't make God your fill in the blank for, again, whatever emotion you're currently feeling in your life. Because here's the way I envision what's happening in heaven right now. When we say his name, he's automatically looking. My child said my name. He's thinking it's about to be your praise or your prayer. But no, he's disappointed. They just stubbed their toe. They're not worshiping, they're not praying, they're just angry about something that happened. They're just mad because someone cut them off in traffic. He said, Don't misuse my name. Be careful. Be careful. And if we're not careful, then it becomes our flippant frustration. Or our flippant surprise, it's our aggravation and not our adoration of him. His name, it's that serious. The name of the Lord, the Bible said, is a strong tower that many run into and are saved. When I say his name, if I'm being impulsive, then that means I'm doing something without thinking. If I'm saying his name impulsively, you realize today that we can worship impulsively. Well, they're singing and we have a hand raised, but our heart, our mind is 100 miles away. We're swaying to the beat or we're clapping, but spiritually we're nowhere near this moment. God said about some people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He said in another place, when you pray, don't use a lot of meaningless words. You can pray, you know, and just talk to God, not trying to impress him, not trying to showcase vocabulary, but just getting down to where it's all at. Lord, here is my need. Here's what's happening in my life. Some of you may be thinking today, whoa, I had no idea. I had no idea that his name was this serious or that he took his name this serious. But you know what? I feel like we need to level up our living as we mature in Christ, as we grow in him, as we become who he has called us to become. Again, it's the third commandment because he's that serious about his name. He said, don't misuse my name. That leads to the question, is there a better way? You better believe there is a better way. Because throughout the Bible, we see vain talkers. But then we understand that God's promises God's promises include blessing when you use his name correctly. There are promises. The Bible is replete. It's repetitive throughout the Bible, the promises that are included if we honor his name, if we reverence his name. He said, I will bless you with success, with prosperity, with health, with peace of mind, with good relationships. I'm closing, but I want to give you three things really quickly. A better way, if you will. Because one, I believe we can reverence God's name continually. What does that mean? We can treat his name with the utmost respect. We can use his name carefully. We can use his name lovingly. We can use his name as an act of worship. What if when I'm out on the highway and someone does cut me off and I'm afraid I'm about to lose control and I call his name Jesus? You're not doing that in frustration to the other driver. You're doing that as Jesus, take this wheel. Jesus, keep me safe. Jesus, hold on. I remember one time I was early in my driving career, senior in high school, and never forget coming into a little neighborhood setting, and God is my witness, I was not speeding. I was not driving reckless. I'm not saying I haven't done those things. I've done all of those things, but this time I was not doing that. If I were and something would have happened, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. But I came into this neighborhood and there were cars lined up parked. And I'm driving, I'm cognizant of all of that. I'm in a neighborhood and there's kids playing and all of that. And I'm just driving, just, you know, speed limit kind of thing. And there was a kid that darted out from behind one of those cars. And it was a split second. I can see it all and feel it all just like it was that day so many years ago. That I knew I had hit that kid. I knew it. I was getting the car stopped. I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and somehow that kid is standing in the middle of the street looking at me. And I get the car in park and get out of the car, and I'm like, buddy, are you okay? Where are you hit? He said, I didn't get hit. I don't know what happened. He said, I just looked and saw you, and I don't know what happened next. Folks, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know if an angel came and stepped in. I don't know. But I know I was calling on the name of the Lord. I was having a right, quick, fast, in a hurry worship service, sitting in that vehicle thinking that I had hit a kid. We can reverence God's name continually. If you keep his name on your lips, oh, it's so much better to just keep a praise on your lips than to keep all the other stuff on your lips. And then when you need him, you feel like you got to start reeling all that stuff back in and getting all that stuff straight. And Lord, I need you, but hold on just a moment. I got to get some of this solved and worked out because I've been talking foolishness. What if you just keep his name on your lips in reverence and in worship and in honor? Number two, we can represent God's name clearly. My lifestyle, who I am, at church, out of church. In the building, in grocery stores, I can represent God's name clearly. I went into a business the other day. I've only been in one other time. And I walked in and the proprietor, I'm assuming he was the owner, I don't know, behind the counter. Hello, Pastor, how are you doing? I'm looking behind me. I don't know anybody here. How do you know who I am? How do you know what I do? Did I give anybody a dirty look on the way in? Was I impatient? Was I short? Pray for me because I can be all those things. What? How did I represent his name today? How did I represent? Pastor Darrell, does that mean we can never have a bad day? No, it doesn't, because I have them all the time. Does that mean we can't ever get frustrated? No, I get frustrated a lot. But I gotta pick and decide how I'm going to represent God's name, because this commandment said, don't misuse my name. If we call ourselves believers, then we need to act like believers. There's two reasons why people never come to Christ. First, they never met a Christian. They never met someone to share faith. The second reason is they met a Christian in name only. They met someone who claimed to be a Christian, but their lifestyle didn't match. I don't want to be in that category. I don't want to be the person someone meets that misrepresents or misuses the name of the Lord. Here's the third one. We can rely on God's name completely. Completely. The Bible says that we are going to give an account. Think about this. This is how serious this is. We all want to get to heaven. But getting to heaven, we're going to stand before him. And the Bible says that we are going to give an account for every idle word we speak. Can you imagine? Hey, good to see you. I need to ask you about the way you handled that coworker. Me? We probably worked this out, but I need to talk to you about the way you handled that neighbor. We just got to get this cleared up, because you got to give an account. I know, for every idol word. I told you it was in the Bible. You didn't believe that or take that serious, but we're going to give an account. And so I want to make sure that I'm representing him clearly. I'm relying on him completely. That I'm reverencing him continually. Lord, I pray today. I pray as we process this third commandment, Lord. I can't say that this word does not sting, because this word stings. I can't say that this word does not challenge me, because this word challenges me. If ever, Lord, we have been careless, if ever we have acted too hastily, today, Lord, I ask you to forgive us. I pray, Lord, that we can slow down and think before we speak. Pray before we act. We can meditate a moment before we move, because we don't want to misuse your name. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We celebrate your goodness in our lives. You have been good to every single one of us. You've made the difference in our lives. And now, today, you say, all right. Today is growing up day. Today is mature day. Today is become better day. So today we level up in our faith, in our worship, in our day-to-day lifestyle, so that we do not misuse you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.